Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Thursday, October the 28th. It's time to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address open to all our listeners anytime. talkback@issuesetc.org. And the same goes for the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Listeners should be aware that I think I'm battling a sinus infection. So if my voice sounds deeper than normal, it's not because I had like a Mark McGuire testosterone steroid booster. It's a sinus infection. I was actually at the urgent care down the street where our old studios used to be on Beltline.
Mm-hmm.
I walked inside. Oh, whoa, you can't come inside. You got to call. I missed the sign on the outside. So I called. There's nobody in the lobby. I waited about 10 minutes. They said they'd call me back. Never called back. Then the ding goes off on my cell phone. Your executive committee meeting at Concordia University of Chicago online starts in 10 minutes. So I headed back here. So no antibiotics for what I perceive to be a sinus infection. I might go after we get off tonight. Anyway, ready to talk about some COVID craziness?
Yeah. That's my favorite subject.
Brian writes.
It's not enough that I get up and watch nothing but COVID news all morning. And that all social media is packed, they shoehorn, quote, COVID into every single thing they possibly can. But I can't get enough of it. Can't get enough.
I have an idea for you. You could simply turn the news off and turn on the Blues this evening. Blues play Colorado Avs tonight at 7 here in St. Louis, Todd.
Have the Blues all been forced to be vaccinated, Craig?
You know, that's a really good question. I have no idea. And you know, the other thing that somebody tells me, my buddy Joe tells me that we've got two players, the new Sod and O'Reilly, our captain, are in the COVID protocol. And so I said, what does that mean? So they're in COVID protocol. Okay, does that mean they have a positive test? I mean, did they see somebody with COVID? What does that mean?
It means they're not going to be playing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean... But you understand what I'm saying? How do you get in COVID protocol? What does that entail?
Did you Google search it, Craig?
No, I did not. I'd rather sit and complain.
Before. Yeah, that's you're good at that. Brian Missouri writes, God's peace be with you. I'm sure you've gotten lots of emails related to COVID material, and I'm sure you're tired of it all. No, Brian.
I cannot get enough of it. I mean, when Jeff says, do you want to talk to Pastor Brian Wolf Miller about good works? I'm like... You mean we're not going to talk to Brian about COVID? When do we have our next COVID conversation?
By the way, that interview with Brian Wolfmiller, who is a COVID survivor.
Two-time.
That's right.
And fully vaccinated. Two-time fully vaccinated COVID survivor.
Was one of the top 10 downloads of 2020.
Oh, great.
Back to our email. Brian in Missouri says, I'm writing to say that this episode that you had with Dr. Sander, the virologist, recently confused me greatly. He seems to be directly contradicting the sort of statements made by Dr. Malone, the vaccinologist who invented the mRNA vaccine. On the one hand, it might be wise for Issues Etc. not to open the can of worms when the narrative isn't particularly tied to theology or the Christian life. Often political issues do connect closely with the Christian life, though I did not perceive such a connection made in the referenced episode. On the other hand, since Issues Etc. has already opened that can of worms, it might be wise to try to present both sides of the arguments, or at least address them. I know that this has come up on the comment line before, but it still needs to be said. I do not envy you the position you are in with all the various opinions and advice circulating and the noise you must be surrounded with every day. Take my suggestion or leave it, but I do pray for you all and say again, whatever else, God's peace be with you. Thanks for listening in Missouri, Brian.
Well, good. I think that's an excellent example of how to address the situation. I'm not aware of, was it Malone, the name of the doctor? I'm not aware of what his claims are about this particular kind of vaccine. And I am certain that probably Dr. Sander is aware of those. Now, he made a statement about it being a political issue, and there's no doubt that the vaccine has been politicized. Okay, there's no doubt about that, but just because something gets politicized, people say, well, abortion is a political issue. No, abortion has been politicized, but abortion itself is a issue pertaining to the Word of God and the Christian conscience. So it is one of the hottest political issues of our time, but it is also, even before that, an issue of conscience. And people who have legitimate questions of conscience about the vaccine should be heard and should get the best possible information. That's really the reason we're talking about vaccinations, is not because we want to talk about vaccinations or because it's a hot topic. We're talking about it because there are people who, for reasons of conscience, various reasons of conscience, do not want to have that vaccine. So that's why we're addressing it.
And every guest we've had on, including Dr. Sander, opposes vaccine mandates.
Every single
period.
One. Yeah.
Period.
And he believed it to be ill-advised. And I think that was a statement made with as little political animus as he possibly could.
And people rightfully have conscience concerns. There are people who believe that they're breaking the commandment, "You shall not murder," by receiving this vaccine, because fetal cell lines were used in at least the testing phases of two of them, Moderna and Pfizer. Those are legitimate concerns.
Right, exactly.
And so it's not a political issue alone. It's a Word of God issue for many people.
Now, he also suggested that we get people from both sides. Be careful what you ask for. If we really got both sides, we would have the extreme anti-vaxxers on, and we would also have someone equivalent to Anthony Fauci on.
And here's what would happen.
Both sides.
If we got Fauci on, here's what virtually the introductory statement for every email post that interview. Why didn't you ask Dr. Fauci blank, blank, blank?
Right.
Guarantee.
So I'm happy to present both sides when it's not, when it comes to God's word, there aren't both sides. There's one side. There's God's side. When it comes to matters where Christians can, in faith, disagree, in good faith, disagree with one another, or based on various levels of information or ignorance, whatever it may be, disagree with one another, then I think it's a good idea to present both sides. But you got to remember what you're asking for here, because both sides on the vaccine includes people who are happily running out to get their fourth shot and will do literally whatever the CDC or who or any of those organizations suggest on that particular day. There are people, and that's one side. People who won't let their children play with other children, unmasked and undistanced from one another because of what they're hearing. That's one side. So I'm not particularly interested in giving that any airtime, as I wouldn't be interested in giving an absolute anti-vaxxer any airtime, because a lot of times it's not based in truth, science, or medicine. It's based in, well, let's just be honest, there are conspiracy theories on both sides.
This is Mike in Illinois thanking you for your recent program with Dr. David Sander on COVID vaccines and vaccine mandates. I greatly appreciated Dr. Sander's confession right at the very beginning of the interview that science does not give us absolute or objective truth.
If answers have to be black or white, then most of what science is going to give you is gray in between. There aren't that many black and white answers because there's always another level of information.
Certainly a good start. Early in the interview, Dr. Sander responded to a question about fetal cell lines. In part, his answer convicted me for not always keeping the Eighth Commandment and putting the best construction on things, as he noted that elective abortions were illegal in the Netherlands at the time these cells were harvested to be grown into cell line HEK293. So these cells had to come from either spontaneous abortion, what we lay people would call a miscarriage, or an abortion to save the life of the mother. I greatly appreciated that he recognized the moral difficulty that exists.
And as a, you know, a religious conservative, this is troubling to me, but you have to sort of balance the evil or the unfortunate aspect of the origin of these cells with what has happened since. I know, for example, the U.S. Conference of Bishops basically have a statement out saying, you know, avoid these where possible, but it's not practical in most cases.
This was much better than the out-of-hand dismissal of such qualms given by Dr. Jeffrey Barrows in your September 16th interview on the same topic. As a child of the 80s, I grew up with President Ronald Reagan's dictum, "Trust but verify," constantly ringing in my ears, even without the track record of proponents of abortion skirting the law to achieve their goals. Just mankind's fallen sinful nature would raise the bar beyond our best guess to justify the moral difficulty of whether we have defended our neighbor in his body and helped him and supported him in every bodily need, even the bodily need of a fetal child from 1973. If a long-tenured virologist is left with, "Presumably this happened," would be my best guess, what hope does the average layperson have to overcome the pangs of conscience that come from the use of fetal cell lines unless we want to go full-on pragmatist and cry out, "Sure, it was an evil thing, but look at all the good that came from it"? In an otherwise excellent interview, this response was disappointingly unconvincing. Not to end on a negative note, I end my response to this interview with Dr. Sanders' final response on the marvel of creation. I could not have appreciated that answer any more. I was nearly weeping to hear a man of science echo the scientists of ages past in confessing the wonder of what they called God's second book, the book of his creation, revealing his handiwork.
There are a lot of points where you can see something happening, you can understand the logic of how it happens and the physical dimension and process in which it happened, but the context is still divine. I think you particularly see this if you get into fields like physics or the more physical nature of reality, where clearly there is something greater than just what we can measure with our crude ruler down here and try to evaluate and predict the consequences of it existing. There is so obviously a bigger picture, and I think you see that in all aspects of science if you're carefully observing it.
If this response becomes a candidate for Soundbite of the Week and I don't have a chance to respond before the voting happens, consider this my early ballot. I don't even think I need to know what the other candidates are. Thank you for all that you guys do to bring thoughtful and thought-provoking interviews like this one, even if we don't agree with everything the guest has to say. We grow by being challenged, and in my 20-plus years of listening to Issues Etc., you all have helped me grow a lot.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. I think he just submitted his resume as my replacement, actually.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds like a younger Dr. Ken Sherb,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. That was very well thought out. Some criticism, some praise, some valid, very valid concerns there. I think the strongest point that Michael makes is that if a man who spent his entire career studying viruses has gaps in his knowledge, which everyone does, And Dr. Sander admitted to having gaps in his knowledge and taking his best guess, then where does that leave the rest of us who don't know anything about these things? Don't make yourself an expert on the internet, okay? You can find the internet, anyone saying anything you want them to say on the internet. Googling something and reading the answer that appeals to you most is not research. That's just, you are simply appeasing your own desire to have your viewpoints affirmed. So this is why we talk to actual living, breathing experts here on this subject when it's necessary to do so.
Here's an email from an anonymous listener. Is the vaccine the mark of the beast? Crazy question. And when you read about it, it doesn't seem to match. But could the vaccine be the mark of the beast? I'm not a crazy person, but me getting it because work forced me to and all the Lutherans refusing to get it makes me start to feel like maybe I shouldn't have gotten it. The test of whether something is good or evil could be, what does it do to faith? So does claiming the vaccine to be the mark of the beast have negative spiritual consequences, i.e. doubt, fear, distrust? I'd really appreciate something on this, and I'm sure everyone else would too. Not pro/anti-vaccine stuff, but the spiritual implications of pro/anti-vaccine points. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email.
Well, on your last point, I think we have to wait until enough history has passed to get a clear thinking on the spiritual implications of vaccines, getting them or not getting them. Is the vaccine the mark of the beast? No. Just because something is required of you doesn't make it the mark of the beast. Just because the government tries to make you do it. And that's, remember, OSHA has not written a single rule yet. They haven't written the rule that the president promised we would have. They have not written it, and they do not have the means to enforce it at this point. So just because the government tries to make you do something doesn't make it the mark of the beast. Just because church leaders may concur with the government trying to do that doesn't make it the mark of the beast. Whatever the mark of the beast is, it is something that is received in the book of Revelation, it's received only by unbelievers. Because there's a different mark on the believers who are marked by the name of the Lamb. So if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about receiving the mark of the beast. Because in the book of Revelation, it is received only by unbelievers. So just because the government is forcing us to do things, they force us to do a lot of things that aren't the mark of the beast. Could it be a sign that the government is dangerous spiritually to us in some ways, as good as it may be? Well, yes, of course. Christians have always recognized that. We'll be right back.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Out goes the sermon proclamation, in comes the TED Talk. Out goes the anchoring presence of Christ's altar, in comes the pulsating drum set. Out goes the preacher covering his own sinfulness with vestments, in comes the pop star wannabe. These are not neutral swaps.
Instead of accepting the word of God, it is very tempting to twist the obvious meaning into something that sounds more gospelly.
If the bishops are being partisan, then we don't have to listen to them. If the bishops are being partisan, that means they're being unreasonable. But the fact is that the church didn't decide to defend human life because it's inconvenient for Democrats.
As Lutherans, we emphasize the distinction between law and gospel. But it should not be understood as it's the law versus the gospel, as in the law is bad, the gospel is good.
That's a taste of our four sound bites this week. One from Josh Pauling, the style swaps of contemporary worship. Another from Pastor David Ramirez responding to Jesus Repents Us. Another from Stephen White, our pro-life Catholic bishops being partisan. And Dr. Jordan Cooper, the danger of the versus mentality. We're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week tomorrow on the program from 4:30 to 5 Central. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or wait and vote live, 1-877-623-MYIE. In the meantime, it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Joseph, Wisconsin. I hope I'm not misrepresenting what Dr. Joel Bierman said at the 5820 mark. He was saying how it would be okay to stop meeting for a while if the government says so. Yet in the previous 3 minutes, he was saying that we should not obey those types of orders. If there is a pandemic, I'm still going to go to church. I will find a church to attend. If I cannot receive God's word and sacrament, then we are not obeying God rather than men. He did go back to saying how if we then disobey man's rules, we should then be willing to suffer those consequences, which I'm more than happy to do. I would hope Dr. Bierman would not give guilty consciences to those whose faith is strong in the Lord and willing to suffer all for him, concludes Joseph in Wisconsin.
Well, I think Dr. Bierman was among the first of our guests to say in the middle of the pandemic, with regard to worship restrictions, this is enough. It is time for Christians to go back to church, regardless of the consequences. So he's been a strong advocate of that for months now. I think what he was saying there, I think he was trying to say at the beginning of the pandemic, many, if not all congregations, no one knew what they were doing. No one had a plan for this. No one had anything ready to say, how do we respond when the government, local government, state government, national government, and all the experts are telling us, don't go outside unnecessarily, don't gather together. Now, a lot of those orders had no legal force whatsoever, but at the time, no one knew what kind of force they had. Now, there are some churches that said, well, foo and that, we're going to keep going to the church. There are some churches that shut down for months. And most churches shut down for a couple weeks or so. And then they said, fooey on this, we're getting back together. We're going to be as safe as we possibly can. So that's how, and I think he was allowing for that. Now, if this were to happen again, then now we're not caught unaware. We've lived with it for almost 2 years. And congregations, I guess most congregations, retrospect being 2020, I think most congregations would say, we're just going to keep going to church and be careful. We're just going to keep doing that, despite what the government may tell us to do. And I think he was reflecting, given the fact that he's been so consistent on this, that there are times to disobey. And when the government says you can't worship, you can't sing, you can't gather, that's a time for the church to say, no, sorry, no.
The interview you referred to earlier is 3461, The Pandemic's Effect on the Church, with Dr. Joel Bierman. Kyle from Minnesota writes, Dear Issues, Etc. and JSM, that of course being Jeff Schwartz Ministries, I'm enjoying your series with Pastor Bender on the theology of worship, but I'm still missing exactly what the argument is against contemporary music style. Best I can tell, Pastor Bender and Wilkin have made two kinds of arguments against contemporary music style. The first concerns practical problems. For example, in Monday's installment, it was claimed that the praise bands perform rather than lead, and that the contemporary styles aren't accessible to all voice registers or all ages. I agree that these practical problems arise in some churches, but I've also visited churches where the praise band is leading, where all voices and all ages are wholeheartedly involved. So I can't help but wonder whether Pastors Bender and Wilkin just haven't been to any churches in which contemporary songs are done well. The second kind of argument I've heard in this series seeks to establish that the musical style is inherently inappropriate for the divine service. But I need help understanding how exactly this argument works. How do we determine what's inherently inappropriate? Is it a matter of specific musical tones or progressions? Is it a matter of sounding too much like popular music? Is it I know it when I hear it situation? Or do we have any definite principles here? It would be very helpful if Pastors Bender and Wilkin could give more specific guidance on how to judge which musical styles are inherently inappropriate, and then show how even some of the best contenders among contemporary worship songs from the last 10 years, say, still fail those tests. Thanks for listening in Minnesota, Kyle.
Well, I think some of it hinges on what you mean by inappropriate. That's kind of a slippery term. I think you've done a pretty good job of outlining what Pastor Bender's arguments were. Now, when it comes to the musical style, remember the context of the conversation. He wasn't talking about a musical style being inappropriate to be used in the church for any purpose. He was talking when you marry it to sacred texts. When you marry a particular musical style to sacred texts, does it help proclaim the text or does it distract from the text? Does it give the impression that this text is profane, that is not sacred? And I think the other thing, the bigger thing that Pastor Bender was arguing for was, is this style of music helpful in congregational singing? Can a congregation sing it together? Can they sing a certain style together? And there's some styles, and I agree with his argument, in a lot of contemporary Christian worship that's being played by praise bands, it does harm congregational singing. There may be people who can sing along to the chorus or something like that, but you cannot argue that the congregation is singing it together. Garth Brooks has a concert, and there are times he kind of gets lazy on stage. He's a very energetic performer, but he wears himself out, and sometimes he'll let, on certain songs, the audience sing the whole thing. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. I think there was, he started it out and the audience sang the rest of it at one of his recent concerts, and he never even sang another note. Now, they were singing it together. And yes, do they sing along with Garth Brooks? Yes, but they're there to see Garth sing it. Take Garth out of the picture, and they're not going to be singing it together, and they're not going to be listening to anything. And I think the praise band, in terms of the temptation to perform, has to make a choice between congregational singing or performing. Because they're two completely different dynamics there. And there is music that is suited to performance. It may be one of those things, I know it when I see it, but there is music that is suited to performance. Let's do it this way. My wife is a huge theater fan. She's got me hooked on old style musicals. Okay? I don't care much for Andrew Lloyd Webber, but let's just say, for the sake of argument, that someone wanted to set the liturgy to an Andrew Lloyd Webber style music. Maybe Phantom of the Opera. Just take one of the tunes from Phantom, or Cats.
Yeah.
Cats, that's good. Take one of the tunes from Cats and say, hey, it's God's word. It can piggyback on any kind of music. And then someone goes up onto the stage and performs that song, and you know the tune. I doubt there's a person who's above a certain age who can't at least hum along to Music of the Night.
Holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. There you go.
So, and look,
Peter Bender.
I want to be equal opportunity here. I'm not going out on a limb. I'm going to say this. There are sins committed on both sides. Okay. I love the youth organization Higher Things. Love it. They've performed miracles in how many years, Jeff? 20 plus years. Miracles that if you would have told me coming out of the seminary as a young pastor that there would be an organization like this that was intentionally Lutheran and embraced the historic liturgy along with these kids, I would have said, can never, ever happen, and it did. So I love Higher Things. They had one thing that they used to do as a little game where they would chant sacred texts like the introits or the collects to the tunes of popular music. Like, you just choose a popular song. They would marry those two things, and it got lots of laughs. They didn't do it during worship, no. They did it as a game with the kids and as kind of an entertainment, and it always got kinds of laughs. Or one they would like to do was they would chant sacred texts to the tune of Hokey Pokey. And I was a little aghast that they would do this because, and I'm not trying to pick on Higher Things. I'm just saying it is to take sacred text to get a laugh. One is not a good thing. It's as bad as taking sacred text for entertainment. But to marry these tunes to sacred text, the next time the kid hears the Kyrie, he's not going to be thinking about the tune of the actual Kyrie. He's going to be thinking about the Kyrie set to Adele's Hello. So there's something that happens when we marry text and tune together that the associations become too strong for us to overcome. And it is wrong to do it that way, and it's wrong to do it the other way, to take sacred text and say, we can just play around with them, set them to any tune we want. And I think the biggest point that Bender's making is style is not neutral. Musical style is not neutral. It carries with it all kinds of unspoken assumptions. And I remember having a conversation with the pastor years and years ago. This was 30 years ago, my first year in the ministry. And the pastor was saying, we're going to have whatever style of music is popular in our church. And that's the style that's going to be in our church because that's what people want to hear. And that's what people listen to all the time. And it makes us more accessible. And I said, well, you know, out on the West Coast, there was this music called grunge. I said, what if that is what people want to hear when they come in? We'll do grunge services then. How about gangster rap, which requires profanity to be gangster rap? Would you do that? Well, now, come on. Don't be ridiculous. These things become difficult to satirize.
Here's an email from Bob. He said, was looking forward to Sunday morning for the 3-year lectionary posted last week. He's talking about our Looking forward to Sunday mornings with Dr. Carl Fakincher.
What was he asking about?
He was asking if last week's Looking Forward to Sunday Morning for the 3-year lectionary series was posted.
Last week is a distant memory to Pastor Wilkin. Well, did we post?
Well, here's the problem. So when we did
series, we ran out of Pentecost.
Yeah, we ran out. There wasn't, when we did this series in 2015, the 3-year lectionary was 2015 to 16, what? Advent to Last Sunday of the Church Year. 2016 to 17 is Series B. And then 2017 to 2018, Series C. If you're, anybody's keeping score out there. So when we did Series, are we on B this year? I think we're still on B. But we did Series B. There weren't that many Sundays after Pentecost.
It ran out of Pentecost.
It ran out of Pentecost.
Yeah.
So we don't have one.
I use the 3-year series, but it is literally the Facebook of lectionaries. It is. It's hard
worse.
To use. It's
worse
clunky.
Than Facebook. Yeah. Worse than Facebook.
It's hard to use. It's clunky. It's confusing. And it requires entirely too much time to understand. I'm going on the record right now. I am, as much as I am against singing Adele tunes to chant tones, I am also against the 3-year series being hard to use. You want a lectionary. If you want to be using a lectionary 25 years from now, don't make it hard to use. Because if you make it hard to use, people will stop using it.
Two quick question. Michael in Fort Wayne says, my congregation would like to make Issues, etc. part of its mission offering and has set aside $1,000 for the budget of 2022. How would you prefer to receive the donation? One lump sum? Quarterly?
Well, that's a Jeff question.
Doesn't matter. Some Doesn't people pay matter. Monthly, bi-monthly, some bi-annually,
people, and annually. Some people don't even, it's just random. They'll take a door offering. And when they get enough in the basket, they send it to us. So Lynn is able to take all those anytime, and she's an excellent record keeper. So she's extremely flexible and accommodating.
Or you can call her at 618-223-8385 and ask her about our congregational sponsorship program. This comes from Sharon. She says, she's talking about your interview on From Mormonism to Lutheranism. Wow, what an amazing episode. Reformation Week, from Mormonism to Lutheranism. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:26. I cried right along with Susan, the pure sweetness of the gospel. What a blessing to be a baptized child of God. I listened to many podcasts, but one has never touched me like this one. Susan's strength, clinging to her faith, a gift from God. In the midst of all of life's issues, it is the love of God in Christ Jesus that we need the most. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Sharon.
Well, we're happy to do that, and we're kind of in the middle of Reformation Week this week. In fact, coming up right after the break, we're going to be in day 5 of Reformation Week, and we'll be hearing from Jake Domick, a U.S. Army Ranger veteran and author of a column for the latest Issues, Etc. journal titled Wittenberg Trail, From the Battlefield to Christ's Altar, My Journey to Confessional Lutheranism. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. The only days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just woke me a little.
Have you considered how your time spent on social media, in front of a screen, or texting your friends is affecting both your physical and spiritual well-being? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is Redeeming Technology, A Christian Approach to Healthy Digital Habits. Learn more about Redeeming Technology at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Redeeming Technology.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Life, liberty, what does this mean? The Northern Illinois District Life Task Force invites you to the 4th Annual Life and Liberty Lecture so you can hear more and make the bold confession of Christ and Him crucified for the life of the world. Featured presenters are Issues Etc. guests Dr. Alan Carlson and Katie Faust. Saturday, October 30th, Bethany Lutheran Church, Naperville, Illinois. Find out more and register at nidlcms.org/life.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.